Welcome to the On Day Podcast. My name is Pastor Kevin Robertson. It is October 18th, 2017. Now, I have the privilege, and I love this lady so much, I'm interviewing Renee. Now, Renee, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you.
And you are such a sweetheart. Now, first of all, how long have you been going to our church?
I've been going since 2011.
2011, good night.
I know.
You 6 years.
Yes.
No, yes, in fact, I don't even remember you first coming.
I know.
So tell me this. How did you discover the church first?
I was looking for church in the Marina. Obviously, I was living in Marina. I hear people tell that story, right?
We're living in the Marina.
Right. Yeah. And I got the phone number off the internet there, and I called, and Pastor Ruben answered the phone.
Really?
And one of the things I asked him was, is this a Bible teaching ministry? And he goes, of course. And when he said that, I go, okay, well, I'm going to come on Sunday. And he says, welcome. Like, you know, wow. Right.
So that's an interesting, because first of all, nobody calls the church.
I know.
So this is totally old school.
I know.
You usually go and yell to see if it's a Bible
right,
church.
Right.
So what was behind that question?
The question was, I didn't care what denomination it was. I just wanted to know that the Word of God was being taught.
Okay.
And that was my whole premise of calling and asking for that.
Okay. So he said, of course. I can't imagine him saying,
he was
no,
so cool.
We're not,
he was so cool. Yeah.
So did you come that following Sunday?
I came that following Sunday, and I have not stopped coming.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So was I preaching the first Sunday?
You did.
Okay.
Yes.
So actually I taught the Bible.
Yes, you
That's
did. Yes, you did. Don't remember. And then I just started kind of, you know, getting familiar with some of the people.
Okay.
Because I'm not a stranger to anybody. I love people.
Right, right. And you're so great. You're absolutely right. You have many friends in the church.
Yeah. I love
so that. Tell me your background.
Okay. I grew up here in Los Angeles, California, actually. I was born and raised. I went to school here. I went to college here. I went to Cal State, L.A.
Okay.
But wait, this is a joke. It took me 6 years to graduate, to finish school, because I had problems with school all along. I got held back in the fourth grade. It just took me a long time to kind of process stuff. And, you know, I always thought a lot of times that I was just a dummy. But I got through and I
Well, you know what? It's interesting. Just last week, I interviewed Bianca and Elsa, and they got held back, and one was first grade.
Wow.
The other one was fourth grade. I got held back in second grade.
Oh, wow. So we're in a club. I love it.
So what grade did you get held back in?
The fourth grade.
The fourth grade.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, wow.
Yeah.
And that's humiliating to me. I just remember, I can't go with my friends. I got to sit back.
Same
so
here.
You felt like a dummy when you were...
Because I got called stupid a lot in reference to my friends and all those kinds of things.
Right.
But it's okay. You know,
it's not okay.
Yeah, but it wasn't then.
Yeah.
But now I know that it was just a struggle for me. A lot of times I have to, even now, as old as I am, and I'm 68 years old.
Congratulations.
Thanks. And I have to sometimes read, you know, various literature or whatever two or three times so I could get it ingrained. I tell people, let me read it. Let me just go through it and read it. So, but I'm not ashamed. I'm glad to even speak about it that I could do it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And you should see my sermon notes. My sermon notes are right there. They have to be color coordinated.
Yes. Okay.
Because I can read.
Right.
When it's dark blue,
right.
I'm very good at reading. So there's a stimulation that needs to happen
absolutely.
With colors.
Yes.
When it comes for me for reading.
Right.
So I totally get it.
Right.
So then you went to, did you finish college?
I finished college.
Tell me how you met your wonderful husband.
Okay. I met my husband through a friend.
Okay.
Both of us, this is our second marriage, believe it or not. That's
okay.
Not old. But
I
met him through.
I didn't know that. See, you put a microphone in front of
me. I know. Everything
all
comes
this new
out,
stuff
right?
comes out. Okay.
But I met a friend that introduced us, and he started kind of pursuing me. I heard Robin's podcast, and she was saying her husband she thought was pursuing, but he started calling me, and I didn't like him because I thought he was kind of a dork.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he really did.
Hey, after your first marriage, because I've been married before
yes.
too, were you like, I don't trust guys whatsoever?
I didn't trust him even with my first marriage because I grew up with my dad, and him being not faithful to my mother, that just put me.
That messes you up.
Yeah, it really did. That really did. It really did. I've had to do some work on myself, yeah. But I'm glad.
Because I remember when I went through my divorce back in the 80s.
Yes.
I was just done.
Yes.
I was done with trusting anybody.
Really?
You know? And I was just done with women.
Now that you weren't going to marry? You had made up your mind that you weren't going to marry?
I was done. Oh, I was totally done.
Oh, wow.
Tell me, Jennifer.
Oh. I love that.
Tell me, Jennifer. I said, okay, I'm going to trust.
There
and,
you know,
for me, the second marriage was great.
Yes.
So then what's his name?
His name is Clifton.
Okay, so Clifton was pursuing you.
Yes. Let me just tell you this little quick story about Clifton, because I, like I said, grew up in the church.
Right.
And I have been attending church all my life.
Okay.
And my husband, when we got together, something happened with him in church. I understood a long time ago that he was an armor bearer to a pastor. And apparently, he still hasn't talked about it to this day. And I hope he hears this podcast. But something happened to where he did not trust the church. So he stopped going. I couldn't get him to go to any church.
And you have no idea why he stopped.
Yeah, I do now,
but
because of what
do you know what year it was?
Oh, God. This was back in like the 50s.
Wow.
He's from Mississippi, and there was a lot of
racism
and all that going on. So whatever happened, he didn't want to talk about it. And he's only given me tidbits of what went on.
So this is way back in the 50s.
Exactly.
So we're talking about 55 years ago?
Yes.
Wow.
And his dad was a deacon in the church, and you know, his family, you know, grew up.
Right.
I mean, he grew up in the church, but he couldn't. But anyway, fast forward, after I started coming here to Marina, I told him, I said, one Sunday, I said, you need to go. I kept asking, I said, you need to go. This is a different kind of environment. This is a different church. They're loving and they're kind.
Yeah.
Eleanor, the first Sunday he came, grabbed him and told him that, you better come. You better come. And he has been coming ever since, and he loves it, and he really loves Eleanor.
See, that's a huge answer to prayer.
Yes.
And if you don't know Eleanor, she's in her 80s.
Yes.
So she can speak into anyone's life.
Oh,
she
absolutely
has that authority.
Yes. And that mother love. Yeah. I want to say that because she's so loving.
Yeah.
I loved it.
And so that was your first Sunday.
Yes.
And so I know that was a huge answer to your prayer.
Yes, because I had been praying. And you have to understand, I have been very active in the church. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, counselor in the church, Sunday school teacher in the church, you know, until I got hurt. I'll tell you about that in a second. But you know, all those things, I wanted my husband to be part of where I was. And he was going,
just didn't want to do it.
No, and he was very gracious. He would always go, honey, you go and come back and tell me about it.
Okay.
He would. For years we went through that. And it was just so amazing to see how he has opened up since he's been attending here.
Yeah, because he comes every Sunday you're here.
Every Sunday.
And what was interesting, too, your son just started coming, too.
Yes.
And he comes, too. And I remember we've been praying for him.
Yes.
So that's just...
I know. I'm blown away, too.
Two
really
huge
happy
answers to prayer.
Truly, truly. God,
and so you got married to one. What was the date?
We got married... actually, it was kind of crazy. We got the license in November, and we got the actual marriage, because it was just a courthouse kind of thing. So I always say our celebration for our marriage is November. Some people say, you know, because we got married that December.
Right.
But I like to say November.
November.
So we have been married, like I said, it'll be 35 years in November.
35 years.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. That's a long time.
It is. It's been up and down, but mostly good, I want to say, because one thing I know, that we love each other.
Right.
We understand each other. Mm-hmm. And that took time. That took a lot of time and a lot of patience, which he had, but I didn't. Believe it or not, I was the one praying and always the one, you know, and stuff like that. But he just was really patient with me in reference to that. We had some infidelity in our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But it's past, we're good, and we are now, always have been, but really good friends. He is my best friend.
Yeah.
And I love him.
And I also believe, too, even with infidelity or whatever happens in the marriage, with the Lord's power and strength, anything can be healed.
Yes.
Anything can be healed.
Yes.
And And that's hard. Yes. And that's hard. Is it to the point where let me ask you this. Is the forgiveness harder or the trust, regaining the trust harder?
Forgiveness was not hard. The trust, does take time.
Yeah.
And yes, that was harder. But to this day, I could say we trust each other. Well, we're older now, too, and mature. But the idea is that we do, have a great trust for each other.
And see, and your situation that you went through, I went through the same thing, but I wanted the marriage to work, but it didn't.
Yes.
And so she left.
Yes.
In my first marriage. And so I just respect so much that two couples, even on the one that did the wrong, to stick with it. Because it takes more courage to stick with it than just to walk away.
Absolutely. That is so true.
So let me ask you this.
Yes.
A young couple is just getting married. They're totally in love with each other.
Yes.
And what advice, if any, would you say, look, that you learned in the 35 years that you go, I wish I knew this when we first got married.
Right. One of the things that really, to me, keeps a marriage bonded is the commitment piece. And that is, you have asked and said before God that I take this woman or man to be my lawful spouse forever.
Right.
What does that mean? That means the highs and the lows. That means that sometimes you're not going to always like each other or obviously agree with each other, but you're in it for the long haul because it's a commitment.
Right.
To me, the hardest part of a marriage is usually when the kids are not kids anymore. They're now teenagers. Mm. That's when you go through a real kind of, I guess, reinvention of marriage because, the same routine, you get kind of into the routine of each other.
Right.
And you don't want to do too many new things or you don't want to do anything to change that.
Right.
I'm cool with you and you're cool with me. But it really, when people say that marriage is work, that's what that is. You really have to be reinventive of various things. Just like you and your wife, you go on hiking trips or whatever you do and you want to change it up a little bit, in reference to that. It takes two people to keep a marriage strong.
Yeah.
It just does. It really does.
No, I agree. I totally agree. And I remember one time I came home from counseling another couple, and I said to Jennifer, why don't we fight like other couples? And she said something, again, I thought she would say, oh, you're a wonderful husband. That's it. She goes, Kevin, we both love our jobs.
Yep.
We don't worry about finances.
Yep.
And we don't have any children.
Yep.
And if we had children, trust me, we would be fighting. And so when you have that balance just raising children, I'm assuming that's where a lot of the tension is within marriages.
Absolutely, because so many things are vibing for everybody's attention these days. With all of the things that happen. And the thing is that you want to make your mind up to be really committed to that person in your life.
Yeah.
Whatever. And, we're going to get old. Our teeth fall out. My teeth are out now. I mean, things, your hair gets thin, your belly gets thin.
Yeah.
But the idea is to keep it going, whatever it may be, because you're dealing with a human heart. God has given you charge with another human heart.
Yeah.
So you don't want to break that heart. You want to really nurture and love that heart. He says there's faith. There's love. There's faith, there's hope, but the greatest of these is
love. Right.
So love is so unconditional that it's beyond, he's gained weight or her butt's big or,
most guys like that.
Or, that breath smell. Yeah, all those kinds of things that go
Absolutely.
On. Especially when you have other people who are trying to vibe for your attention.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like for instance, we get into a rut. I hope you tell your wife every now and then that she's beautiful.
Yeah.
Women want to hear that. Whether, if she gets a new dress or whatever, and you may even want to be honest and ask, is that a new dress? It looks good on you.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that kind of thing. And if it doesn't, shut up. So,
anything positive come out of your mouth, anything negative?
Right.
Just
Yeah. Keep it
so you made reference in the beginning of this podcast, and you're talking about the love and the big heart. You were involved in ministry a lot, yes, and doing ministry, and then you just made reference to that you were hurt, yes, within the church.
Yes.
And a lot of people in our church, in a lot of churches, they've been hurt.
Yes.
And they felt stifled. So if you can give me what happened?
Well, like any other ministry, first of all, ministers, pastors, reverends, whatever they are, you know, referred to, are human beings. Mm-hmm. They're men and women. Okay.
I'm human?
Yes.
Okay.
Believe it or not, yes. And what happens, people hear things that they may not agree with, right, or, you know, the pastor may say things that are not appropriate. Mm-hmm. When I say that, yeah, like they'll simply say, you know what? I don't think that ministry is good for you. I think you need to go over here. Let's say, not sing in the choir, but let's go to Sunday school. Right. And you go, but my heart is really for, right, you know, singing in choir. But no, I need you. Well, you know, yeah, who are you to? And then those kinds of things. Or the pastor may venture in a different direction, mm-hmm, that you may not agree with. Mm-hmm. The idea is that what happened to me is that I was speaking in tongue.
Okay.
Okay.
So you and I've seen that you have the gift of prophetic.
Yes.
A prophetic gift.
Yes.
And during our Thursday prayer time.
Yes.
I hear you praying in tongues.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So therefore, these are gifts that you believe the Lord has given you.
Yes.
And you felt what? Were they being stifled at the church, or what was going on?
They came to me after I had...
They as a pastor?
They as a pastor. The associate pastors said that the pastor was not pleased with me speaking. What happened was somebody had spoken tongues, and then interpretation, according to the Bible in Corinthians, you have to, if you speak out loud, you have to have an interpreter.
Correct.
I was the interpreter,
okay,
in reference to that. And at the end of the service, I was told that I was out of order, that I should not have said anything. And it baffled me because I couldn't understand, what did I do wrong? And all they kept saying was, you were just out of order. What did I do specifically, okay, that I was out of order? They all could, right, not tell me.
Okay.
So then I went to the pastor of the, okay, church. And I said, if I did anything wrong, I really want to know, because I'm following what the word says in reference that it got silent. Nobody, and the Lord had put the word in my heart to speak. Was it what I said? He goes, no. I go, did I say anything to offend anybody? He goes, no. I said, well, Pastor, what did I say that offended or have them come to me? He goes, well, I don't know. Maybe it was just not the right timing. Well, God, okay, Kevin, that just blew me away because nobody could tell me. So I started praying about it. I remember my grandmother was still living at the time.
Right.
I went to her because she was my prayer guru. She, okay, you know, really, we would, on Sundays, because she couldn't see, I would go and read the Bible,
right,
to her.
That's
and
cool.
We would, yeah, and we would just talk. So yeah, I told her, and she goes, that doesn't make sense. That just doesn't make sense. She says, you pray about that, and don't get bitter, is what she said.
That's good.
I stayed at that church another 5 years after that.
Okay. So let's understand. Somebody got up and just spoke in tongues.
Right.
Okay. You didn't initiate it.
Nope.
And you felt the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
Say, this is what interpretation is.
Right.
And it was interpretation. And then the associate said the senior pastor has problems.
Yes.
So you went to the senior pastor.
Yes.
The senior pastor said, I'm not sure what's,
right,
going on. I didn't offend you because I don't want to say in front of you. I have more power to go behind your back.
Right.
So you couldn't. So now you sit there. I'm assuming the 5 years you stayed.
Right.
You did not interpret.
I didn't know anymore. Plus, I sit down because I was a counselor. I sit down for 2 years. In other words, I wasn't active because I couldn't figure out what I had did. So okay, I just kept thinking I was out of order.
Okay.
I was out of order. And
you were taking it serious. You, yes, respected this pastor.
Yes.
Respected this.
Yes. Because I grew up with, you respect your pastor.
Right.
He's the elder. He's the, right, the ultimate person.
Okay.
So I wanted to know. And because I couldn't get a straight answer, mm-hmm, it messed me up. It truly just,
oh, yeah,
messed me up.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so after 5 years, you just...
Okay. Then I wrote a letter to the church because the pastor had then deceased. The pastor,
okay,
had died.
Oh, okay.
So I wrote a letter to the now senior pastor, the pastor who took his place, right, and said, I'm leaving. He called me in. And he goes, and I said, I'm just going to find another place. Not because I don't want to. I had moved, right, and some other dynamics, okay, were going on. But anyway, he says, he went, you can't leave. He says, you're my Sunday school teacher, and these kids love you. And I love them.
Right.
But I said, you know, the Lord has laid it on my heart that it's time for me to go. Mm. You know what he said?
Mm-mm.
That's not what he laid on my heart. Okay, well, but he spoke to me, not you. You know what I mean?
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he kind of got a little, you could see his demeanor,
right,
changing,
mm,
as I was talking to him, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. I'm kind of getting kind of choked up about it, but it was just, you know, it was just so bizarre to me.
Right.
So I told him, I said, well, I'm not coming back. So what I did, I still kept going. I remember I kept, right, going, but I the Lord was just dealing with me,
wow,
to just move.
Because the thing is, I've been the recipient,
yes,
of a pastor,
yes,
of someone sitting in this office,
yes,
that's telling me the Lord is putting in their heart to move.
Yeah.
And I've done that.
Yeah.
And my demeanor changes because I'm hurt.
Yes.
And I've never used the Lord's name, and the Lord's not putting on my heart. But even to the point of a couple that left back in November,
yeah,
who are a prayer couple,
yes,
that killed me.
Yeah.
That really killed me, sure, because I took it so personal.
Personal, yeah.
And so if you listen to podcasts, it kind of goes like you want to say things or, yes, and stuff like that. So I'm just assuming that pastor was hurt,
yes,
too.
Yes.
But you were feeling, this is time for me to move,
yes,
forward.
And let me just say this, because since then,
right,
since I've been attending Marina,
okay,
I've met with the pastor. And we have, I want to say, come to an agreement.
Uh-huh.
And he did say that you're right, he did say that he was hurt. First, right, of all, he said he didn't believe me. I was just talking because I'm so animated, yeah, I guess. But after we got together,
right,
and talked, he was fine. And he says, you know, you're always welcome. Right. And that's what I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
Kevin, I wanted to hear, you're always welcome. Yeah. And I thought that was just so huge.
Yeah.
For all of us. And since then, mm-hmm, I've gone to a couple of their women's ministry, right, thing, and they've called me and asked me to speak, which I've spoken.
Cool.
So it's been, you know, yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
But, oh, man, I was messed up.
It's hard. It's,
yeah,
really hard. Because I've noticed, I was talking about membership.
Yes.
And, you know, you and I get along great.
Yes.
We talk yes, stuff like that. In fact, during a prayer meeting, the Lord's speaking to both of us consistently, and we,
yes,
kind of tag team.
Yes.
And I've noticed that even 3 weeks ago,
yes,
that we did. But when I was talking about the membership, it was like a light bulb went on in you of going, I ain't going to become a member. There's no way. And the thing is, where is that coming from? I was curious.
You know, let me say this. All I knew when I first started coming to Marina,
right,
that it was a Bible teaching ministry.
Right.
I didn't know the dynamics in reference,
right,
to that. I've since learned.
Yeah.
It's not that I don't want to be a member, because I do.
Right.
I feel like I am.
Yeah.
But of course. And you, believe it or not, me and my husband, Todd,
okay,
he is so wise. I mean, since he's been going to church, God, please, I don't want to start crying. But he says, you know, you have to, his analogy was, if you're in Rome, you do what the Romans do.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea was, there's an order to everything. If it wasn't order, then God could not be in it.
Mm-hmm.
Going, what the hell is this him? So anyway, the long short of it is that I know that I may have to do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'll leave it at that. I'll do what my friend Nate did. I'll just leave it at that.
But you know what? It's interesting because the thing is, the reason I'm bringing it up, the majority of people,
mm-hmm,
that want to do ministry have been hurt.
Yes.
And membership to them represents control.
Not with me though, but I hear where you're
okay,
going with that. Yeah,
and so it's just And as a pastor, you're trying to figure out, because you are an organization that requires membership, you know, to the state of California, to the denomination.
Right.
But I totally get it.
Right.
I totally understand that I don't want to force hurt.
Right. You're not. I don't think you're not. And I love your sensitivity, by the way. You are one of the most sensitive and compassionate people, and I'm not just trying to yuck on you. I don't have to do that.
But I'm
saying that because I feel your heart. I sense your true heart.
Yeah.
And I had another thought. I wanted to just say that when my husband and I were talking, and I love it because you have to understand, Kevin, he's never talked until he started coming to this church.
Okay.
I mean,
what's the definition of talk?
Talk is getting in a conversation. My husband's conversation is usually this: yes, whatever you say, whatever you want.
Okay.
All right, honey.
All right.
That's it. But now he's giving opinions. You get what I mean? He's actually talking to. When he told me, just, you know, what you do with whatever
the
Romans do, do that. And he goes, you need to just really think about where you are. And here's what he said.
That's cool.
Whose lives you are affecting if you say, I don't want to be a member. I want to what? So,
but it shows you that your husband's healing from whatever happened 55 years ago.
Absolutely.
Because he's only been coming here for less than a year.
Less than a year. Yeah.
So you're talking about he's been churchless for 55 years.
Yes.
And now he's speaking more wisdom and the Holy Spirit's kind of moving in his life, so you can partner together in ministry.
Yes.
And listen to him.
Yes, I can move. I can't believe. So God is just awesome. And I know this is a move of God. And the thing I do know that, and I just want to shout out everybody in Marina right now. I mean, we're all going through our different stuff.
Yeah, well, okay. Absolutely.
Oh, my God. I mean, you know, it's just true. But if I could say anything, I'm going to say to the members, stay connected.
Mm.
Stay connected. I know the enemy wants to put you in a place where, you know, you think that you're comfortable or you think that this is what the way you go. But I'm telling you, when you stay connected and when you get to love on different people, I love the idea that we can turn and bless people every Sunday. Mm. That's huge because a lot of people don't get touched.
Right.
Until that happens, and you have to respect people. If they don't want to be touched, that's fine. But at least you could smile at them and let them know that you love them.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
And I think that that's so, so important.
Well, you know, because I go to the door.
Yes.
I
love
after each sermon.
Yes.
And I tell people, if you want a handshake, stick your hand out. If you want a hug, go for a hug.
Yes.
And I had two people that said, this is the only hug they get
in
the entire
week.
Mean.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what do you think about that?
Yeah.
And it's just a hug.
Yes.
So sometimes, you know, you don't have to minister in great ways to speak to someone. You just love them.
Yeah,
just care deeply about them.
The other part I like about this ministry is the authenticity of the humanness that we have. What attracted me here was telling us through your sermons to just simply be authentic and be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge for me because I had to go through a lot of counseling to get to that point. So to be authentic and to be yourself, and my family is loving. You know, when my sister comes to town, she always comes with me to church, you know, and other family members. I see that in even other families that they're, you know, siblings or whomever, they will come to church because we need the love. We need the acceptance, and we definitely need to be validated with our humanness.
You know, absolutely right.
Yeah.
And I think if we have a come as you are.
Yeah.
And, you know, and not worried about behaviors right now, we're not worried about lifestyles right now.
Yep.
We're just worried about, hey, we want to walk you to Jesus.
Yes.
And let Jesus change.
Yes.
Let Jesus do the conviction and whatever that needs to happen.
Yes, yes.
And so that's one thing that I've been changing a lot since I first started the ministry.
Excellent.
Because I don't know if you've grown up this way, but I grew up, I needed to change my behavior before I'm loved in the church.
Yeah.
And I need to change my language and stuff like that.
Sure.
So it's all about, outer appearances.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the better you dressed up, yeah, the more you were Christ-like. Accepted.
Yeah, and even Jesus talked about that. You know, in James, it talks to you, you're serving the person who's all dressed up, they may be the...
Yeah.
You go to the people who are really hurting. And that's what I love about this ministry, because so many people are hurting, right, Kevin. They're hurting because they need just an encouraging word. Mm-hmm. Just encourage. I love it. That's why when I get up and on Sunday and, you know, read the scripture, which sometimes take me a little bit to get through. That's okay. Everybody's patient with me. But I love it when I can say smile, because smiling is just so human.
No, it's funny because every time, you know, most time when you get up there, you'll just say something like, I need a smile.
Yeah.
I need you guys to smile.
Smile back at me.
Okay, look. I'm up here. I'm doing this thing.
I'm nervous.
Yeah. Which is cool because it sets a tone.
Yeah.
You know, how you want to read and stuff like that. Now, on your prophetic gift and going back to how the Lord has given you, that you see when in the church that you can sense the spiritual battles going on with the people in the church. Mm-hmm. And you've told me after church, this is what I feel is going on. Yes. And I think you're right on.
Yes.
And then you share, this is where the Lord really wants to bring this church.
Yes.
I can sense it. So why don't you share with us some of the things that you've sensed that the Holy Spirit senses struggling within the church. And then where you sense the Holy Spirit saying where we're heading.
Okay. Three things that come into my heart.
Okay.
Number one is marriage.
Mm-hmm.
There are couples here in our ministry, church, I don't know.
Right.
Believe me, nobody's talked to me, so don't come out.
I love the animation.
Yeah.
It's a podcast.
Yeah.
No one's going to see the animation.
Just on my heart.
Because she's putting her hands up.
Yeah.
Making a disclaimer.
Okay. Yeah. But... marriages are real vital here in reference to people loving and understanding each other. So I'm saying marriage is a proponent that is really being looked at. And I see couples struggling. I'll just say that. So the Lord has me just pray. The one thing I love about it, again, I tell you, I love this ministry.
Mm-hmm.
No judgment.
Mm-hmm.
No, we in church, growing up in church, we always have this stuff about being judged.
Right.
You know, we all struggle with their various things. Mm-hmm. Number two, so marriage is number one with the struggle. Number two is alcoholism. Okay.
Okay.
All right. People want to judge people. It's a struggle. Right. I don't know. I did the 12 steps. I'm not an alcoholic, but I did the 12 steps with their spiritual
part. I love the 12 steps.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. But my point here is that we need to be gracious to one another and love each other in reference to having individuals just walk through this. It's a journey, Kevin. It's not something that, you know, is discovered today and it's gone tomorrow. No, it's a journey. And don't fall. When you fall, just pick yourself back up and come back to church.
Yeah. And I think he actually told me, Jesus said, look, there are two or three couples within the church that are contemplating divorce.
Yes.
I mean, you were very clear about that.
Yes.
And you also said that there are people that are struggling with alcoholism in this church that need to be free from it.
Yes.
And we prayed for it on Thursday and stuff like that.
Yes.
And so you were very specific in these areas. And then I talked to a lot of people, and I'm going, dang, she's right. Because
Holy Spirit is right.
Okay, the Holy Spirit's right.
Yes.
Because I see it.
Yes.
I actually see it.
Yes.
That is my prayer. That it's almost to the point if the power of the demonic pride would just leave the house.
Yes, Lord.
Right. Then the healing would take place quickly.
Yes.
Because the self-entitlement, the victimization, like I need this, or my spouse is treating me this way.
Yeah.
And I wish, and I'm glad you were very open about your marriage because other people, when they go through it, like when I did 30-some years ago or 20-some years ago, I felt I was the only one.
Yeah, no.
But a lot of people within the church have experienced this.
Yes.
You know, infidelity, or even the person. And this is where the person that does infidelity is broken as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because we all are broken for something.
Right.
You know, when we slide out of our mom's womb, we come into a world. No, seriously. Yeah. We come into a world that has so many issues.
Right.
You know, from your parents to your this to your that. But it's always issues. And we were taught, I don't know, now, of course, now it's a little bit more prevalent. But in the 50s and 60s, you don't tell anybody about your disgrace. Disgrace, that's life.
Yeah.
We just make mistakes, Kevin. Right. We all make mistakes. Right. And the thing I want to, if I could convey this today, is just simply to love each other and accept each other. I don't care who it is. You could be, you know, whatever, alcoholic. I've did it. I've done it. It doesn't matter. The third thing, though, I want to get into that.
Right, okay.
And it's kind of like a couple with it.
Right.
Okay. It's a couple thing. It's like pornography and suicide.
Okay.
I see that.
Okay.
Ah, oh, Jesus. So
that there's some men struggling in the church of pornography.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes. There's no problem with that. I can not no problem with the infidelity.
Yes.
See, I should have told you, turn off the phone.
Yeah, sorry.
So the pornography, and I think a lot of men, and sometimes women, struggle with pornography.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and for me, it's an addiction. I can escape reality and, you know, enjoy it for the moment. But it's like any addiction. It becomes stronger and stronger and stronger.
Right.
Where it takes over your life.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
And so I think our prayer, both of ours, would be free from that.
Right.
Freedom from infidelity.
Right.
Freedom from alcohol, freedom from any type of addiction, that we can be free in Christ.
Right.
I mean, Scripture makes it clear.
And the peace is no judgment. No judgment, Kevin. Mm-hmm. If it comes out, it's not to be judged. It's just to be loved on and prayed for.
Right.
You get what I mean? And accept it. God gives us grace.
Mm-hmm.
We're under His grace all the time.
Right.
Even our very air that we breathe is from the Lord.
Right.
So the Lord is telling us as Christians to love each other, to encourage each other. If you don't have anything good to say, shut up.
Well, and it's interesting. About a month ago, you know, when you, I think what you said is God kicked me out of my seat.
Yeah.
And then you went to speak to somebody and you asked, what is grace? What is grace? What is grace?
Yeah.
And I've noticed that people, and I know why you do this, because they don't know it.
Yes.
They have no idea what grace is.
Yes.
Let alone if they don't know it, can't identify it.
Yes.
They have not received it.
Yes.
So how in the world are they going to give it?
Yes. Especially to themselves.
Yeah. And so therefore, they're living constantly under this light of perfection, of trying to be this man or this woman.
Right.
And it's like, you're right. It's like, just embrace the grace.
Yes.
And just be you and quit judging yourself and judging others.
Yes.
Because the most judgmental people judge themselves just as much.
Yes, they do. Yes, yes.
You know, and it's just like, just chill.
Yes.
You just need to relax and enjoy yourself.
Yes.
So what is your prayer for the church in the next few years?
We are going to do some great and mighty things that we know of not.
Okay.
Through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord has put various things on the hearts of men and women in this ministry to move forward to help a nation.
Mm-hmm.
I know people don't believe that. Right. You know, God, there's so many people leaving the church. But it doesn't have anything to do with that, because God is going to send men and women. He's doing it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Talented men and women to build up the ministry. It's either going to be with or without us. I would like it to be with us as long as I'm living.
Absolutely.
Oh, Jesus. To really have us really raise up other men and women in this ministry, especially women. And I say that not because I'm a woman, but God is working through women to bring great ministries, just like our Joyce Myers, just like some of the other, you know, wonderful women of God. God is doing great, mighty things. Mm. We just simply need to embrace it and move the way God has told us to move, and that's in love.
So let's say, as we wind the podcast down, let's say someone's listening to this podcast and goes, man, why can't I be so excited about the Lord? Why can't I? It's just day-to-day struggle. Like, I'm not hearing the Lord. I've tried doing this. Somebody tells me I need to pray a certain way. I pray a certain way. It doesn't work. What are some practical things that they can start today that you've learned from experience? You're hurt in the church, dealing with infidelity, dealing with the second marriage, celebrating 35 years of marriage,
yes.
You know, involved in the church,
yes.
You know, and stuff like that.
Yes.
What practical steps would you say, this is what the first thing you need to do?
The scripture that comes in my mind is Romans 10:17.
Okay.
It says, faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God.
Okay.
If you are practicing, and I'm not talking about a Bible toting or preaching. What I am talking about is having a moment to allow the Lord through his word to speak to your heart and to put that into a practice.
Right.
My mom always told me, I used to run track, and my mom always told me, when you practice, you'll get better.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy wants us to feel sorry for ourselves, right. And be downtrodden and have all kind of attacks on us in that regard. That's the enemy's job.
Right.
Our job is to really see what God's word says and do it and believe it. What does that mean? I mean, start in Psalms. Read Psalms. That's a cheery.
Yeah.
Most of the Psalms are cheery in reference to just starting maybe your day or your night with just a word,
right.
And believe it. And then when you have those moments where you are in, you know, like that dark place, because we all have it. I'm telling you guys, we all have those dark places.
Right.
To have the word evolve. Like, for instance, everybody has this famous scripture, Psalms 23.
Right.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. That's right there, repeating that in your darkest time, you don't think it will, but it elevates.
Right.
So if I could leave this word, the word would be at least to search the scripture. Start in Psalms, that would help you. And start in St. John, if you really want to know who Jesus is and how he had his ministry here on earth.
Yeah.
No, it's not going to be perfect. The enemy wants to distract us in all ways he can.
Right.
And he does a great job in doing that. But guess what? I want to tell you, he's already defeated.
Yeah.
But you got to know that by saying, okay, there's a dark moment, but I'm going to swim, Lord. I'm going to swim,
right.
You know, through this. By his word.
Okay.
Because everything else would go away, but his word stands.
Well, thank you so much.
We
appreciate this podcast. And remember, we have church services at 10 o'clock, and we're halfway through our prayer month in the month of October.
Great.
So tomorrow, join us at our... we've had prayer every Thursday in the month of October. So if you're listening to this the day of the podcast, join us tomorrow at 7 p.m., and Renee is part of the prayer group. And Renee comes every Sunday sitting with her husband and her son. You used to sit behind me. Now you
move. I know.
Now
yeah.
You move. I took a personal.
Yeah. Oh, no. See? There you go. No, don't.
She sits on the other side of the sanctuary that I do. Give her a hug.
Oh, I love it.
And you know what? One thing Renee likes, if you ask her to pray for you.
Yes.
And she will not stop praying for you until you ask her to stop.
Yes.
So I would encourage you to pray with Renee if you see her Sundays or if you're doing this on Thursday. But remember, every day is a gift from God. Use it wisely, and we'll see you every Sunday at 10 o'clock. God bless, and have a great week, and we'll see you next week. God bless. Did a good job.